dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. Here at home, that war has been fought in rather unconventional ways of late, notably in the courts by very, very strenuous opponents of President Trump and specifically his efforts to try to restrict the immigration to this country of people who may wish to do us harm. This has been the subject of a very, very important decision by the Supreme Court just yesterday. And to discuss that and more with us, I couldn't be more pleased to say we are joined by Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. He is a senior legal fellow there in the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. Hans, it's so good to have you back. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes.
Well, Frank, it's always great to talk to you.
I'm interested in your thoughts. There's a lot of disagreement about what exactly the Supremes did yesterday in the ruling that they handed down on the so-called travel ban. Of course, it's actually an immigration pause. Where do you come down on all these questions, Hans?
Oh, I think it was a big, big victory for the president, and that I'm sure that's what's making a lot of opponents of his angry. Look, in essence, what the court did is they said, we are lifting the injunction that is preventing the enforcement of the president's order that temporarily halted entry from the six terrorist safe havens in Africa and the Middle East. And what they said was that this law, this order can be enforced against any foreign aliens who basically have no connection with the U.S. So if you're a Somali native and you want to get a visa to come to the U.S., they don't even have to let you start to apply for the visa process because, as you know, there's a 90-day suspension of that. Now, the court did allow to remain in place the part of the injunction that would prevent any foreign alien who has a credible, bona fide relationship with someone or an entity in the U.S. Some may see that as a big loss for the president, but actually it just kind of confirms what the government was already doing. If you look at the original order, Frank, it basically set up what they called a waiver system. So any alien who wanted to get a visa and get waived from that 90-day suspension had the ability to do it on a case-by-case basis. And look, you and I both know what would cause a customs enforcement or State Department person to waive the requirement? Well, it's going to be some kind of family connection, something like that. So in essence, even though that part of the injunction is still in place, I don't think it really changes what the government was already doing.
Let me drill down on that, though, with you for a moment. Andy McCarthy, your friend and mine, has written on this ruling, and I am generally very much persuaded by what he says. And he's warned that what the Supremes have done in this case is create essentially a new right to come to this country on the part of people who can establish some such connection, a bona fide relationship, as the court said. Should we be concerned about that?
Oh, look, I agree with him. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that I agree with the partial dissent that was written by the three terrific conservative justices on the court, Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch. And they basically said, well, we're agreeing with what the court's doing, but we actually think the entire injunction should be lifted. And I agree with Andy. I think they are potentially creating this right for people from outside to be in the U.S., and I think that goes against prior precedents of the court. But remember, they're not making a decision on the merits of the case right now. That's not going to happen until October. So, you know, they decided that most of the injunction will get lifted. We'll leave this small part of it in place. Hopefully, in October, when they hear the substantive merits, they will not make that a permanent rule.
And Hans, do you anticipate that, as some seem to, including it sounded like some of the justices, they hope this whole thing is going to be mooted by the executive order's duration by its own terms having expired come October or November. Is that likely to be the case, and therefore we won't get a ruling on the merits?
Frank, that depends entirely on what they find when they do their internal review. Because remember, the whole point of this executive order suspending temporarily entry was to make sure that we've got the right kind of vetting procedures in place to thoroughly check the backgrounds of anybody trying to come in from this country. You know, it's going to be if they come back and they say we got all the procedures in place now, we can go back to normal visa processing procedures. Well, then, yeah, the case is kind of mooted. But look, if they come back and say there is no way to vet people coming in from Somalia or Sudan or Iran, and we recommend to the president that we basically have a long-term ban on entry from those countries, well, then it will still be a very big decision that the court has to make as the president acting within his authority.
Hans, let me, in the brief time we have left, turn to another of your areas of expertise, and that is on election law and practice. You served for 2 years as a member of the Federal Elections Commission. You co-authored with John Fund, Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. Talk, if you would, a little bit, Hans, about the latest on that front. The court apparently is going to be ruling on a case out of Wisconsin that may touch on broader application of voter ID laws, as I understand it, or
which,
on redistricting, right?
Yeah, which, as you know, is, look, the main thing that helps determine how many state legislators we have from various political parties in the states and how many members of Congress we have from the various political parties in Congress, all that depends greatly on redistricting when they draw the lines. And what the Supreme Court said just a week or so ago is that they were going to take up a case in their new term, which starts in the fall, a case out of Wisconsin called Gill versus Whitford. And the reason this is an important case is, look, for years the Supreme Court has said that state legislatures can pretty much, you know, do redistricting according to whatever state criteria is, with the exception that they can't race can't be the predominant factor in your redistricting. If you do that, you're violating the Voting Rights Act. They also have said you've got to make your populations as equal as possible. You know, you can't have districts with 50,000 people in one and 100,000 in another. They've got to pretty much be as equal as possible. But what they have stayed away from is claims of partisan redistricting. And that's what the Wisconsin case is all about. The lower courts in Wisconsin tossed out the statewide legislative redistricting plan for the state legislature, saying that the Republicans there had engaged in an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander because they hadn't produced enough seats for Democrats. Hopefully the court, it took up the case to basically reverse this lower decision, because I can't think of anything worse and a greater violation of separation of powers than to have courts deciding how much politics is okay when you're doing redistricting. That is not something they should be doing. That is entirely up to the legislative branch, not the court.
This is an issue that Daniel Horowitz, again, our mutual friend, has been warning of for some time in terms of judicial overreach. And again, I know you'll be keeping track of this, and we look forward to talking with you about it. I did want to close by just saying I understand that Rush Limbaugh is expressing concern about the subject of your book, Obama's Enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department, that he suggests that Eric Holder may have an ambition to run for president in 2020. Are you hearing anything to that effect?
Well, that has been the rumor circulating around Washington for the past week. I can't think of anything quite worse than having Eric Holder run. He politicized the Justice Department to an extent never seen before in its history, and he is the biggest pusher of racial identity politics around. I mean, he would just be terrible for the country.
Hans, thank you very much for taking some time to parse these important developments on the judicial front with us. I look forward to visiting with you again in the near future. Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. Keep up the good work, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Richard Pollack joins us from the Daily Caller News Foundation. We'll talk about Hillary's emails, the latest on that scandal, and perhaps a new one involving John McCain. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.